You'll find information on how to support us at the end of this podcast. Okay, so now we're going to look at hearing God's voice through the spiritual gifts. Okay, and it now says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, verse 3 we'll go. Therefore I will give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. So you can't speak under the influence of God, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and speak non-biblical things. Since Jesus is the Word, and the Word is Jesus, all of the inspired scriptures represent Jesus, right? And they're inspired by the Holy Spirit as he moved on man to write them down. They were inspired. They didn't write words of cursing towards Jesus. We can understand that anybody speaking under the influence of the Holy Spirit, either speaking in tongues or in English, is never going to say anything that is derogatory of Jesus Christ or of the kingdom of God. So we can have that confidence, and we can know that if we have discernment, spiritual discernment, we can discern whether that person is speaking from the influence of the Holy Spirit or the influence of themselves, their own natural thoughts, or the enemy. Okay, so it's very simple. Then it says also in 3, it says, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. You have to have the Holy Spirit. So you have to have the Holy Spirit, and when you speak under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you speak the things of God. You don't call Jesus a curse. Okay, so then it says, now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversity of operations, but it is the same God. So it says Spirit, Lord, and God, all operating by the Godhead. So the Godhead is operating the spiritual gifts. Okay, now there are diversity of gifts, that's different types of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences, right, of administration. Now that's the same Greek word. The diversity and differences, right, are the same Greek word of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversity, right, that's the same Greek word again. So use diversities, differences, and diversities, right? The gifts, administration, operation. So you need to go and do a word study of that, of verse 4, 5, and 6. There is so much in that. You can understand how the kingdom of God works, how the Holy Spirit works in you. There are different types of gifts, and we talk about there's 9 gifts. There are differences or different types of administration, but the same Lord. And there are different types of operation, right? So all one, diversity, differences, diversity. Gifts, administration, operations. They are obviously different, right? So in the gifts and in the administrations and the operations, they're all different Greek words. But in diversity, differences, and diversities, I'm talking about verse 4, verse 5, and 6. We're just shooting back and forth. Okay? So in diversity, differences, and diversity, all the same Greek word. Right? When it talks about the gifts, the administration, and the operations, different words. You need to look at them and understand them. Okay? The manifestation, right, of the Spirit is given to every man to what profit, we're feeling, with all. So you're supposed to profit from this. It's a benefit that you operate in these different giftings and how they operate. And then it says here in 27, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. So different types of tongues. Okay? Which tongue is that? Different types. Which one? Which one are you speaking about, Paul? It says here, are all prophets, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, all workers of miracles. It says, have all the gifts of healing. Do all speak with tongues. What? Diversity of tongues. Do all speak with diversity of tongues. Do all interpret. So we're looking at interpretation of tongues. That's what he's nailed. That's what he's zeroing on. He's zeroing in on diversity of tongues, and the one he's zeroing in on is the interpretation of tongues. So you have to be able to speak in tongues for speaking in tongues for interpretation. Then there's the interpretation. Okay. So what you should be doing is you should be praying to the Lord that you would be able to interpret your speaking in tongues. So you would speak in a certain type of tongue, and then you would interpret that in either, it would come in your head, and then you would either speak it out or you would think it out. Okay? The same process. You either, the information drops into your spirit of what you've just been praying about, what you've been saying, and then you can meditate on it, or you can speak it out, or you can write it down, whatever. But it is the interpretation of that tongue. And that interpretation is God speaking to you. Hearing God's voice, right, is important. It's important to understand and feel the presence of God, to walk in the presence of God. Understanding His presence is very important, because when you walk in your life, you should be feeling whatever capacity you feel, but you should be feeling His presence. I feel His presence continually, and I'm able to drop into the Spirit and drop into that place where He speaks to me in my mind. Right? I don't speak it out. I don't write it down. I think about it. I dwell on it. I meditate on what He's telling me, so I can drop into the Spirit. Sometimes I'm not even aware that I'm in dropped into the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will speak to me right out of the blue. But a lot of the time, I will purposely drop into the Spirit so that I can monitor what the Spirit is trying to tell me. And He will speak to me stuff about me, about what He wants me to do, and about the mysteries of the kingdom of God and how I'm to understand them and operate in them. It's very important. I spend a lot of time doing that. I spend a lot of time praying in tongues, and I spend a lot of time sitting down quietly, dropping into the Spirit and monitoring my spirit and letting the Holy Spirit minister to me. I spend a lot of time, hours, sometimes hours, 2 or 3 hours every day. I spend time dropping into the Spirit. When I'm walking down the street, I drop into the Spirit. I don't need to light candles, put on some nice, wonderful mood music. I just can walk down the street. I can be in a full crowd. I can be a crowd of people. I can be in a shopping mall with everybody buzzing around, and I can drop into the Spirit, because I've learned to do that. I don't need to prepare myself in this nice, quiet place. You know, when it talks about going into your closet, you know, it's not so much talking about going into the most quietest place. It's inside you. It's the most central part of you. You go into that closet, and that's what the word closet means. It means a central part of your house. Okay, you know, into that place where nobody goes. It's a place where very little people go, and in you, there's a place where very little people go. Only you. Nobody knows inside you. And you can drop into that Spirit, into your Spirit, and you can monitor. And God will give you revelation. How will He give you the revelation? In forms of visions. He will give you imagination. Imagination comes from the spiritual realm. So you can imagine evil things. You can imagine crazy, silly things that you make up from your mind. Or you can imagine or meditate, right, on the things of God. And God will, he will supply your imagination with all that you need to imagine on God. I spend a lot of my time thinking about the things of God, thinking about meditating on the scriptures. This maybe a couple of verses will go, I'll go over and over and over. And sometimes it's like walking past a house. You may walk past it 1,000 times and never really look at it. You know it's there. You know it's got a fence. You know there's a front yard. You know that there's steps going to the house. But you don't really really notice it. You don't really look at it. You know, you don't really know whether it's, you know, got made of bricks or wood. You know, you don't even know what color it is. You just know it's a house. And you might walk past it 1,000 times. But until you actually stop and look at the house and meditate on it, then you get to know the house. And when you meditate on God's word because you've heard it over and over again, you can study the scriptures. I mean, you look at one scripture I keep talking about over and over again. For the law of the spirit of life has made me free from the law of sin and death. No, that's not true. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You can quote that 1,000 times and never really think about it. How about, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who walk after the spirit and not after the flesh? Or is it, there is there now no condemnation for them who walk not after the flesh but after the spirit? Go and look yourself. You know, people can quote it back and forth either way. It's still the same thing, but it's important to understand that the next scripture is, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. What does that mean? You could spend a day thinking about that, just that scripture. The law, so there's a law. How do you enact that law? Well, in the Old Testament, he says, I'll put my laws, I'll write them on your heart. How does he write them on your heart? Through revelation. They become a part of your innermost being, who you are. Those laws. And what are the laws? They're the laws, right, that bring life. And can you get them in Buddha? No, you get them in Christ Jesus. And what do they actually do? They destroy or set you free from the law of sin and death. So what's the law of sin and death? The law of sin and death is basically not shooting at the target properly and missing it all the time, or just getting off target. The law of sin, and sin brings death. If you get off the target, then it brings death. It doesn't regenerate, it dies. If you hit the target, what are you walking in? You're walking in righteousness. And righteousness is the first pillar of the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So it's in the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is enacting all of this. The Holy Spirit pours the love of the Father out on our heart massively. The word, the Bible says, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, right? The love of God. Which God? Well, that's the Godhead, right? The love of the Godhead. That's all of God. When it talks about the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, when it's talking about God, usually it's talking about the three, okay? So it's all done by the Holy Spirit. So when you're praying in tongues, then you might want to stop and monitor yourself and drop into the Spirit. You say, how do you drop into the Spirit? Well, it's actually, you do it all the time. You drop into the Spirit all the time, you don't notice it. Dropping in the Spirit, I don't know how to, I'll try to explain it. It's like daydreaming. That's what dropping into the spirit is. It's like, matter of fact, it is. It's like daydreaming. Because when you daydream, you can dream on what you're doing. What are you doing when you're daydreaming? You're imagining things. And your imagination, right, is either excited by evil things, things that you make up that have no, they're just nonsense thoughts. And then there's spiritual thoughts. Now, because you're born again and you have the Spirit of Christ in you, you have access to the kingdom of God. You have access to the mind of Christ. You have access to the Holy Spirit, who you're no longer, your thoughts are not alien, those spiritual thoughts are no longer alien to the things of God, but they're from the kingdom of God. Now, the enemy can get into your imagination, okay, and minister to you, but you want to be ministered to by the Holy Spirit. And you need to have discernment to know the difference between walking in the Spirit or being led of the Spirit or imagining in the Spirit and being led by your flesh or by your own unregenerated mind, right, which hasn't really been transformed. So your mind needs to be transformed by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Your mind comes into sanctification. Your mind separates from the things of this world. So the thinking and the ideas of this world, your mind separates from them. Your mind becomes sanctified, separated, and your mind becomes holy. You turn your mind into a holy thing. Then your thoughts are always on God. Your thoughts are always on the kingdom of God. Your thoughts are above and not beneath, not on the earth. You don't dwell on what am I going to do for food? What am I going to do for a job? What am I going to do for this? You take no thought. You don't start up a fresh new neuron system, which causes a neural network of toxic ideas. Oh, woe is me. I'm not educated. I don't know whether I can get a good job to supply money for my family, or I don't know whether I'm going to get over this sickness. How am I going to do that? There's no doctors around. No, if you actually have a heavenly vision, then God will give you the answer to your problem. If you're freaking out from your situation, you know, fear has torment, but the love of God casts out all fear. Okay? And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So, first things first, the best way to actually tackle all of this is to sit down and pray in tongues for half an hour or 40 minutes or an hour every day, right? And set up a prayer regime of the transformation of your soul so that you can clean your addict out of all the junky boxes that have been sitting there for years with nothing, junky stuff, stuff that has no relevance in your life at all anymore, because you're a new creation. You no longer need the things of this world. We live in this world, but our supply, the power source that we use, comes from heaven. Man, his power source or his supply comes from his own personal ingenuity and from others or collective ingenuity. But unfortunately, if you've got a bunch of people who are operating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it just falls over eventually. It doesn't have any lasting effect. And there's no standard. But, you know, kingdom principles last forever. And kingdom principles run this realm now. So if you step into the Spirit, drop into the Spirit, and be taught by the Holy Spirit, then you're going to speak and you're acting out kingdom principles. And the kingdom of God is going to fill your life with blessing, with grace, with the power to transform your life. So simple. You know, so hearing God is super important. And the way you hear God is you sit down and you say to the Holy Spirit, let's clean this garage out. Let's clean this attic out. Let's refurbish this home with furniture that functions instead of rickety old broken furniture that making do. No, let's pray in tongues, and you look into the deep parts of me, find the parts that are defective in thinking and acting, and transform my life. And you will speak into my life, and you will tell me and give me instructions on how to fix my life up. Sometimes he won't even give you the instructions. Sometimes he'll just do it, and you'll just notice the change. You go, I feel different, because the Lord has chased away the enemy in your life. Now, he's not going to do it all in one day. He's not going to do it all in one big prayer session. He's going to do it systematically so that you don't crash and burn. He's going to do it in such a way like you're going to have confidence in God. You know, if God came to you and said, I want you to get rid of everything and just walk in me in faith, and you've got very little faith, you're not going to have much of a chop to do it. You're not going to do it. So he builds your faith up by giving you small victories, medium-sized victories, then large victories, then massive victories. That's how it works, because you're capable of handling massive victories by the time you get to it. By the time you get to it and someone comes knocking on my door and says, I've got cancer, what do I do? I say, not a problem. Why? Because I know God and I know how to get rid of your cancer. And it's not 1,000 different ways. It's the same way, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the blood of Jesus, right? By the word of my testimony. And you, the person who's got the cancer, all you have to do is submit yourself to the will of God. All you've got to do is open your heart up, and then we can do all the work. Now, if you lock yourself up, I've prayed for people who didn't even believe in God, and they've received the Holy Spirit. They said, oh, I don't even know if this stuff's right. This real is just rubbish. I said, well, how about we give God a shot? How about we give Jesus a go? How about we let Jesus prove himself, just like they did on Mount Carmel with Elijah and the prophets? Let the God who is real answer by fire, fire of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, I put my hand on them, and all of a sudden they get shocked because the power of God comes over them. I touch people and the power of God floods through them, and they're not even Christians. They don't even believe in God. And God touches them, but you know, they still have to follow through. You know, they can still reject God. And it amazes me how people get massive doses of God, of his presence, and they still reject him. Because the enemy is greater in their life at that particular moment. And the enemy has a greater say. Even though God may massively go into their life, the enemy has a bigger say in their life, and they listen to him. And until the enemy shrinks and the voice of the Lord gets louder, then they make a decision. It's up to them to make a decision. And you can never force anybody to follow Jesus. It has to be a free will choice. If you put pavlova in someone's mouth and say, do you want this or some mud? They'll say, I want the pavlova. Right? They're going to want the pavlova. If you put your hand on somebody and stuff runs from them, and all of a sudden they feel peace and joy, right, then, you know, they'll usually want God. Usually I have to work real quick with people, okay? You know, when I pray for people, I pray over them and I speak into their lives that they would have a revelation of Jesus Christ, and that the enemy would not touch the seed that's been planted in them, because the Bible talks about the seed falling on hard ground and the fowls of the air pick it up, or the devil takes it, right? He takes it when? He takes it immediately. So I pray over that seed that it will be protected. And then, well, that seed starts meditating or starts working in their life, and they start meditating on God. Their imagination starts turning towards God, and they can't stop thinking about God because they've got a seed of the kingdom of God inside them. And then they start meditating on it, and it gets stronger and stronger, and they make a decision. And they go, I need to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Because I don't just tell them, well, just believe and you'll be saved. There you go. That's rubbish. You know, people talk about different processes of salvation. There's no different process of salvation. You're either saved or you're not saved. That's it, right? You know, people say, well, I gave my heart to Jesus. There you go. Well, why are you still doing the same stuff? There's no transformation. Did you have a spiritual experience? No. Just gave my heart to Jesus. The people said, give your heart to Jesus. The pastor said, give your heart to Jesus. I said this prayer, didn't feel any different, because your heart was not right. That's why. You need to be ministered to properly. You know, Paul said to some disciples, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Right? And then they said, we have not so much as heard that there be any Holy Spirit. So then he said, to what then were you baptized? So why did he ask them about their baptism? Obviously, he knew they got baptized, right? If they were believers, right? So he straightened it all out. You know, it's all about, you know, the first sermon that was ever spoken after the day of Pentecost. We should use that as our template, okay? What did Peter do? They said, when they heard the things that Peter said, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter then stood up and said, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for this promise is unto you and to your children and to as many as the Lord God shall call. Goes on and on and on. Okay? So you must repent first. What does repent mean? It means not to fall on your knees and to speak all of the horrible stuff that you've done. It means to have a 180 degree turn in your mind. I'm not going this way. This way is not biblical. I'm turning around. I'm going this way. I'm not following this teaching or this scriptural stuff because it's lies and it contradicts the Word of God. I'm going to turn around and go this way, according to the Word of God. I'm not going to live this life anymore. I'm going to go and get baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to be empowered to walk in a newness of life, a Spirit-powered life. That's repentance. So repent, right, and be baptized. So I'm going to now go under the water and come up as a new creation. I'm going to be buried into Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And when I come up from the waters of baptism, I'm going to be a new creation. I'm going to be a new species. I'm going to be a new person. I'm going to be born from above, right, by my baptism. And I'm going to receive, I'm going to ask to receive the Holy Spirit so that I can see how to operate in my new creation. So I can see how to go and walk as a Christian should. I'm going to be able to go and see the problems. I'm going to have a light for my feet. I'm going to be able to have a vision. So the Spirit will give you the vision. It will illuminate your path. But what path are you on? Well, first you've got to get from one side of the cross to the other, right? Through baptism. You're buried with him in baptism and in like manner raised, right? So on one side of the cross, you're a human being, right? And when you get baptized on the other side of the cross, you're a human being who's born from above. You're born again. You're a new species. And you have the capacity to be led by the Holy Spirit. You know, if you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you have vision, you have understanding, you have clarity, you can pray in tongues. But if you're not baptized, you're not in a position of authority. You might know everything there is to know about driving a car, but if you don't get in a car, you never go anywhere. So baptism gives you the position in the driver's seat, and speaking tongues opens your eyes up so you can see where you're going to drive and how to drive the car, right? Effectively. So that's how it works. Then the Holy Spirit, he teaches you and guides you into all truth on how to be effective in the kingdom of God. That's how you walk in the Lord. That's how you drop in the Spirit. And that's how you hear God. People can hear God even before they're filled with the Holy Spirit. They feel convicted by the Holy Spirit of their sin. What is it, their sin? Oh, you're a dirty, rotten, filthy, prostitute, drug addict, loser. No. No, he doesn't say that. He says the life you're leading is going to lead to death. But if you line yourself up with the target of Jesus Christ and you press towards that mark, you'll be saved, right? Because the guy who's the Pharisee or the priest or the pastor of a church who isn't spirit-filled, doesn't speak in tongues, right, and hasn't been baptized, but he's a pastor of a Christian church, he's not a new creation and he's not spirit-filled. He's not part of the kingdom of God. You know, and the Bible says, even in if you read the Amplified, it says in Romans chapter 8, for if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are not a Christian at all. What happens to all of those denominations that don't have the Holy Spirit, that are not baptized, that don't believe in baptism? They're not Christians. You know, your little soft snowflakey heart might say, oh no, because you've been taught lies of inclusiveness. And they are not part of the kingdom of God. Inclusiveness is a lie from the pit of hell. Inclusiveness preaches this: everybody is welcome in every situation they are, and they don't have to change because God includes everybody. That's a lie. You know, even Jesus said, you know, unless you enter in by the straight gate, he talks about people who climb over the wall. He says, bind them hand and foot because they're liars. They're thieves. They've tried to enter into the kingdom of God another way. Inclusiveness is not biblical. Okay? Feminism is not biblical. Okay? And all the other isms are not biblical. You know, there, I probably would say the worst things in this world now is feminism and inclusiveness or liberalism. Liberalism says, look, homosexuals are saved, pedophiles are saved, all sorts of things. And we're going to get worse and worse and worse, right? Because inclusiveness has no boundaries. And when you start to make boundaries, the niceness of inclusiveness rears up and goes berserko at us and becomes violent towards those who want to be biblically correct. Inclusiveness smiles and puts his arm around you and says, we love everybody, little snowflake. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings at all. We don't want to offend anybody. But if you say anything against our inclusiveness, we'll come after you with a big stick. You know, that's a one-sided thing. And it's from the pit of hell. It's being motivated by demons. When I speak to somebody who's full of inclusiveness, I'm speaking to a person motivated and speaking from the platform of a demon. I can look into their eyes and I can see the darkness in them. And it angers me, especially when they're spirit-filled and baptized. It angers me terribly. You know, people who are not filled with the Holy Spirit, people who are not baptized, are not a new creation, I have so much leeway for their rubbish because they don't know the kingdom of God. Even a person who's not baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit is preaching the gospel and telling people about Jesus and you don't need to be baptized. I have more for them, more empathy for them or more niceness for them than someone who's baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit is preaching rubbish. That's bad because they're in a car, they're legally in a car in the driver's seat, they have the Holy Spirit, but they're just crunching all the gears. And they're running into telephone poles and driving all over the footpath and sideswiping cars because they're blind. They don't know how to operate in the kingdom of God. They don't know how to drive properly. And they cause more damage than anybody else. Yeah, so, you know, I've had my little rant about that. But it all came because I sat down and prayed in tongues and said to God, will you transform my understanding so that I can function correctly and truthfully in the kingdom of God? Next, we're going to talk about the gifts and how they all operate and how you can operate in the gifts, okay? So if you'd like to help Don and I out at Clear Vision Revival, then just go to the bottom of this page and click on support.